We're going to talk tonight about autonomy. What is the difference between autonomy and independence? Have you thought about it? One of the things, when we first started this course, we made a list of 10 things that we wanted to teach our children. One of them was independence. Most of you had independence. You wanted them to be able to think for themselves. What is the difference between independence and autonomy? I agree. You do want them to be self-reliant. Right. What is the difference between that and independence? Right. All by yourself. Right. Right. You do not really, if you think about it, you do not really want your children to be independent. If they're independent, it means they need nobody. It means that they need no one. So when they go to get into relationship, what's their relationship going to be like? Right. And most children, particularly in the teen years or even they start, how old is Danielle? Socialization becomes very important, you know, and they have these conversations of this girl isn't talking to me and she's my best friend and now she's that one's best friend, and they get pretty mixed up if your goal is independence, because they want to independently have somebody that's independently theirs, and that's where it gets all confused. That's where their feelings get hurt and they feel rejected and all of that. They are. They wind up alone by being an example of autonomy. What is the difference between independence and autonomy?
You can do things for yourself, but ultimately...
But you don't have to.
Right.
So autonomy is having the wherewithal to do the things that you need to do and make the decisions that you need to make. Autonomy is the ability to be yourself and interact with other people. And that's what you want to teach your children, right?
Autonomous.
So how do you raise a child who's autonomous?
By showing up as you reach out to other people to have things to get things done. You know, always doing things on your own, trying to work with others.
Right, and the interdependence, that there's nothing wrong with interdependence. In reality, they are interdependent on you, yes? For their emotional needs, for their approval, for your love, for your nurturing. They really are dependent on that. True?
Yes.
There comes an age where they don't want to be dependent on that. So what do? Who do they reach out to? They reach out to their social group. Prior to them being needing that response from their social group, you want to teach them autonomy. Now, most of us have not learned autonomy. What is autonomy? Autonomy is the ability to make choices.
Oh.
The ability to stand by your choices, whether they're right or whether they're wrong. And if they're wrong, you know how to clean them up. It's the ability to problem solve. It's the ability to maintain your center regardless of what's going on around you. How does that sound? So how do you do that? One of the things that you need to do with your children is to give them choices. It doesn't matter what age they are. When they're verbal, you can start giving choices.
Sam, I don't think understands yet.
He does. He does. You give him two toys. Which one do you want? He's only going to grab one. That's a choice. That's a choice. You start small. If he has a bunch of toys around him, and how old is Sam? A year? 16 months. If he has a bunch of toys around him, he's probably not going to pick any of them.
Yeah.
Because it's too many choices. He's not able to make that. But if you hand him two toys and say, which toy do you want, Sam? He'll take one of those toys. He has the ability to make choices even at that age. And then, of course, the choices get more and more complicated the older that you get. But the giving of choices is in your mind, not in theirs. Remember from week two, we were talking about how that the most difficult part about being a child is that you feel you have no control. That your parents tell you what to do, they tell you what to wear, your teachers tell you what to study, they tell you your grades, they tell you, people are always telling you. The way to empower your child to be autonomous and to start trusting their decisions is by giving them choices and then acknowledging those choices, even if they're bad choices. When they get older, they're going to make bad choices. It's part of life. That's just the way that it is. They're going to make bad choices. And they need to be able to come to you and say, I made a bad choice. What do I do? So that you can then problem solve with them. If the only choices that you acknowledge with them are the good choices, what are they not going to share with you when they get older and they need you? The bad choices, because they're going to be embarrassed. They're not going to want to tell you, I screwed up. You know, and sometimes it'll be minorly and sometimes it'll be majorly. Because they aren't going to want to face the consequences that they have for themselves and then have to face the consequences that you have for them in addition. So what you can do, what you can do to get her prepared for making the decision making is you do it the night before so that it's not an upset in the morning.
It was driving me crazy and I felt I was going yelling at her, and finally Sunday night I said, you know what, would it be easy if I made a chart for you on things to do before you go to bed and when you wake up? And she said, yes, and she woke up that morning and she loved the chart. Of course, she keeps going to the bathroom when you wake up.
She might not be of the age where she can distinguish good taste and bad taste.
So do I tell them that doesn't go?
No, one of the things you do is you pick two outfits and say, honey, which one do you want to wear? Until she gets used to picking her own. If she has a whole closet full of things, she's not going to be able to mix and match and figure it out. But if you take two outfits and say, honey, which one of these do you want to wear? She can pick one or the other. And you start there and then you work into, what do you want to wear today? But you have to kind of work your way. That's a lot of responsibility for a child because they want your approval. They want to look good at school. They want to make sure that somebody knows that they look good at school. So if you pick the two the night before and say, which one do you want to wear? And you put it out the night before, you'll totally avoid that in the morning. And then the next week, you pick out the pants and the jacket and you say, which shirt do you want to wear? And then the next week...
You have to go for a favorite, and a lot of these clothes are just sitting there. It's not being worn in the closet. You have to wear the clothes. You still have tickets on them.
Right. But did she choose her clothes to begin with? So you're spending money that is unnecessary because she won't wear them if she doesn't like them. So if she's old enough to take to the store, you take it to the store and say, which one of these do you like? You don't say anything in the store, you can have anything in the store. Pick out your wardrobe because you're going to wind up in an argument. But you say, which of these two dresses do you like? And she'll tell you which one she likes. Then she doesn't like either one, you don't buy them. Totally ordinary? Then she wants to be totally ordinary.
Or if it's something that's so... too dressy to wear to school, you know what I'm saying?
Then you tell her it's too dressy to wear to school. But if they have too many choices, they wind up making none. No choices. So you can do it the night before and you can give her two choices. And then you can graduate to three choices. And then you can graduate to which shirt do you want to wear with these outfits? Or which shoes do you want to wear with these outfits? And that's how you teach her taste. But if you want her to wear what you bring home, then you have to either buy it and bring it home and say, do you like this or should I return it?
So or take her with you. Most of the time I was sitting in the closet anyway. She used to have her favorites or pick out things in the closet that I noticed the other kids are wearing in school when she's 6 with those clothes. And I was just trying to be
all. But it's very important at that age to fit in. It's part of the whole socialization and not stand out. By 9 she'll have totally funky clothes that don't fit in with anybody. But there are certain phases that they go through where they have to look like everyone else. It doesn't mean that they're always going to go through that. It just means that they have to be comfortable and not stand out. Especially if she stands out academically or in beauty. Because kids are not nice to each other. And if she's academically very smart and the teacher lets her know that she's academically smart, she'll do anything that she can to downplay everything else. Or if she's particularly beautiful and people are always commenting on that, she'll make sure that she looks plain Jane. So that people won't notice, because she's not comfortable with that much attention right now. She has to be comfortable, she's wearing. It's one of the few things she can control in that environment. And it doesn't mean that at 9 she's still going
to
be that way.
That
you like, yeah. Say, which one of these do you like?
And it's just like either one, do I go to get two more outfits or pick from one of these two outfits?
No, I wouldn't buy her anything. These are the two I picked. Which one do you want? It's not, these are the two that I like, and you can have anything in the store that you want because I'm going to buy you something today.
Okay, her birthday is coming up. She's having an ice cream party. She has the outfits that they wear
on the ice skate.
Right.
So I said, fine. Then we went to the store and she set this out there. I was like, oh my God, to myself. And I was like, I don't know if it's really just your size. and she said, I really like it. And I said, well, but let's think about it. First of all, it's a lot of money. And I kind of, you know, let me think about it. You know, I came
home,
I
saw
my cousin,
like,
why is
for
that's what she wants. I'm like, well, yeah. This outfit's like really gaudy.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Very
overdone. Yeah.
So do I let her pick that outfit that she wants to wear for her birthday? Or?
Not if it's too much money for you and you can't celebrate it, no. You take her to a different store and find two that she can choose from and let her choose from those. Now that you know what she wants is gaudy. But if she's 7, she's pre-puberty. So she's going to go from being a 3-year-old to being a 7-year-old, anywhere in between there. So the first thing you have to do is address what age is she? Is she a 3-year-old right now or is she a 7-year-old? No, I mean emotionally. And she's going to change from minute to minute, conversation to conversation, between anywhere from 3 to 7. She's going to change, which is why you have these temper tantrums at 7. So first you address who are you speaking to, a 3-year-old who can make, who can't make decisions, or a 7-year-old who knows exactly what she wants.
Well, the first one sounds like she knew what she wanted, and then I said, let's go check out another place. So I thought maybe I could get it cheaper and see what else there was to pick from. And then she picked this plain little outfit. She said, I want that. And I said, really? I was so surprised that she picked that. And then I said, is she just saying that she really wants an outfit?
I understand. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No.
That your child emotionally goes from three years old to 7 years old. Because they're having hormones at 7 years old, puberty's starting between 7 and 9. They're starting to get hormonal, the way we used to between 12 and 14. They're now starting from 7 to 9. At any moment in any conversation you're speaking to her, you have to determine if she's being a 7-year-old or if she's being a 3-year-old. Because if she's being a 3-year-old, she's going to want anything because she wants it now. She wants to take it home with her.
Right. So was I and right if she's for you to say, let's go home
yeah.
and think about it?
Yeah.
And go back to the first place and see, you know, which one you really want.
Right. But the thing to do is to give her two choices. This one or this one. I mean, you have to watch her on the ice. You know what kids are going to say if she shows up in a gaudy outfit.
Well, the gaudy outfit one of the other girlfriends
wants. Oh, really?
I love that outfit. It's so pretty. You want that outfit too? That's the one I
wanted
for my birthday.
Mm-hmm. So choices are very important. No matter what the problem is, it's important that you give children choices. If the problem is cleaning, if the problem is disciplinary, if the problem is getting out of bed in the morning, if the problem is whatever the problem is. Choices in everything. Choices in what they eat, choices in what they wear. And it all comes with an age, with the different age. So the choices you give an 18-month-old are going to be different than the choices you give a 17-year-old.
Yeah, because toys are one. Like, I've tried his clothes, and he's like...
Oh, no, he doesn't care about clothes. He's 18 months old. He wants to run around naked. 18 months old, don't care about clothes. No.
Food, no. He eats whatever. Food, actually... Sometimes,
he does have a preference.
Sometimes he has a preference.
Yeah.
I mean, there are things that he'll eat and won't eat, and I try. But, you know, one day he changes and the next day he's different.
Because their taste buds change every day at that stage. What they didn't like last week, they're going to love this week.
So I do.
And they tend to stick with one food for a while.
He's getting better.
Good. Any question about choices? Dennis?
Dinner
is dinner. Dinner, there's no choices. You know, unless you have two vegetables. Do you want carrots or do you want green beans?
Well, that's the thing that I'm afraid, like with Sam. If he doesn't like this, do I try something else if he's hungry?
No.
Did you not let him eat it? Or?
I don't force a child to eat, no. This is dinner. If you want to eat, eat. If you don't, don't. They don't eat. Unless you want to become a restaurant. I mean, I know people who are 24-hour diners. I'm not one of them.
Yeah, I have that, like, oh my God, Jewish mother.
Right? But what's going to wind up happening is you're going to wind up being on call for food.
Sure.
You're going to wind up as a 24-hour diner. So you better get a cook now.
Mm-hmm.
Get a live-in cook.
Right. So what about my daughter? She's moving to Florida next month, and I don't have a choice. She's leaving high school. I'm graduating.
Right. What do you do about what?
Well, she's, I don't...
You cry a lot. That's
no,
all you can do.
There's nothing as far as a choice that could give her to
trust. Right. Yeah. She's an adult. Wish her well. And try to have it not be upsetting, even though it will be. Just let her know that you're here if she decides to come back, or she needs support, or if she wants to call, or and that you miss her, and you love her, and you wish her well. Because at that age, it's an experiment.
We all wanted to graduate, so we go to the graduation class, the family museum.
Uh-huh.
So we put that, and she's done a lot of crying over it.
Uh-huh.
Because she said, this is something I want to do, and you're not letting me do it.
Uh-huh.
So she said, yes.
Well, is it responsible for her to move to Florida? I mean, she has it set up to be able to live there? Uh-huh. Good. I don't see what you can do. But I did that, so, you know, I left home at 17 and moved to Florida and graduated. Yeah. So, you know, I'm probably not the one to ask.
I moved to America. Part of me that says I think it's growth for her. My daughter graduates. My family,
right.
My grandpa, nobody, they can't afford to have the family fly to Florida and watch her graduate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The principal came to me and said, please, we want to see her graduate.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I see there's a part that I can grow from this moment.
Mm-hmm.
But she's kind of stuck.
Mm-hmm. Then you have to know that and reinforce that in her. Let her know that her choice may wind up being terrible, but that you support her choice. And then she's going to have a lot of choices along the way. And you trust that she'll make the right choices for herself, even though you hate her choice. That's all you can do, and cry a lot.
I think graduation is doing my best. I'll see her a lot, so it's not that I'm not going to see her.
Yeah.
My business is going to be down to Florida every 6 weeks, so
mm-hmm.
it's just the graduation that will be here.
Uh-huh.